Tea and Jeopardy with Emma Newman. There's always time for a nice cup of tea and a spot of mild peril. Well, hello there, my lovelies. I do hope you're well and haven't had your home destroyed by a rampaging kaiju. My name is Emma Newman, and I'd like to welcome you into my secret tea lair for polite conversation, abject geekery, a cheeky bit of cake, and of course, a nice cup of tea. I do hope you aren't struggling with the altitude up here in this monastic mountain retreat, but I couldn't resist such a peaceful setting. If you could make an effort to keep your voices down so as not to disturb the monks as they go about their business, I'd be so grateful. It's so kind of them to allow us to use such a beautiful room. The view over the mountains is enough to restore even the most exhausted soul, and the tea is rather good. Do sit down on one of the mats or the cushions. Latimer could only carry two chairs from the airship, and of course one of them is for my guest. Whilst we're waiting for her to arrive, I think I'll take a moment to admire the magnificent decor and listen to those wind chimes whilst contemplating the meaning of life, the universe, and Henry Carville.
I'm sorry to disturb you, ma'am, but your guest has arrived, a Miss Frances Harding.
Oh, marvellous, let's see her calling card. Miss Frances Harding, purveyor of exceedingly peculiar children's fiction. How splendid.
But look on the back, ma'am. Do you think this is a warning?
How can a picture of a goose be a warning? He's rather smart in his top hat.
He does look rather aggressive, though, ma'am. No goose of sound mind and upright bearing would wear his hat at such a jaunty angle. Also, note the trail of destruction in his wake, and the way he's setting about himself with fisticuffs.
Is this why you insisted our guest be escorted up the mountain rather than come in the airship with us?
I couldn't risk another animal stowing away. Not after the monkey incident with that lackwit Gareth...
Latimer, the goose is a fictional character.
That's what that Powell said.
Oh, show her in, Latimer, for goodness sake. She must be exhausted.
Very good, ma'am.
For those of you who don't know, Frances has written several novels, the most recent of which, A Face Like Glass, has been longlisted for the Carnegie Medal. She won the Bransford Bowes Award for her debut novel, Fly By Night, in 2006, and has been winning awards for her writing ever since. And rightly so, if you ask me.
Miss Frances Harding.
Hello, Frances. Do come and sit down. How are you?
Very well. A little tired, actually.
Yes, it's a bit of a climb, I understand. I'm sorry about that. Did the Sherpas look after you well?
Yes, they were very attentive. We had a little trouble with the phrase book, particularly when we dropped off the edge of the cliff. But, yes, it's very precipitous round here.
Yes, it is.
Yes, lots of lookout points everywhere.
Yes, and you know, the odd bird circling.
Yes, some very odd birds.
Would you like a cup of tea to restore yourself?
That would be lovely. Thank you very much.
And how do you take your tea?
Strong and with one sugar, please.
Wonderful. And Latimer has baked us a rather hearty fruit cake. Would you like a slice?
That would be lovely. Thank you.
Wonderful. So, it's a delight to have you here today. I mentioned in the invitation that guests to my tea lair bring a curio with them, and I was wondering what you've brought today.
Well, I don't want you to get nervous when I produce this, but it's a very small sword.
It's all right.
It's a letter opener. But this is one of the first presents that my significant other gave me. And as you can see, it's got Frances on one side and Shadow on the other. And I really like it because it's all about accepting someone for what they are. It was given to me at a point where usually you might have expected somebody to be giving jewellery, but I'm not really a jewellery sort of person. And so this is much more a fighting your own battles sort of an item. And I like the fact it's got Shadow on the back, because accepting someone's dark side is part of understanding who someone is.
Absolutely. And in the Jungian model as well, accepting the shadow reduces the power it has over your life as well.
Absolutely.
I like that very much. So, the last time that we saw each other were in rather unusual circumstances.
I do hope you're not holding a grudge. Wait a minute. Luring me up here, this isn't revenge or something, is it?
No, not at all, because we're actually being ourselves right now, but the last time we saw each other, we were not ourselves, and perhaps we should explain to the others who are enjoying tea with us that we were in a role-playing game together, a live-action role-playing game that was rather exciting.
Yes, I seem to remember the last time we met, I bundled you into a car, put a bag over your head, and abducted you off to a secret location where I interrogated you for some time.
Yes.
It really was nothing personal. My sinister employers asked me to do that.
You were really quite frightening in a very gentle, menacing way. It was wonderful.
Oh, thank you very much. I do my best. For what it's worth, I did thoroughly enjoy pursuing you through the centre of London as well.
You know, I had no idea that you guys were chasing us at the time. It was really weird when I was told afterwards. I was imagining people doing it because obviously that was part of the game, but I didn't realise you were actually pursuing us. It's really cool.
Oh yes, I mean, we lost you, unfortunately, so well done, the good guys. But it turns out, actually, that running through the centre of London, searching streets for someone you've lost, and gabbling into a walkie-talkie is also fun and makes you feel like a spy.
Which, of course, was the entire point of the day, to make us feel like spies, and it was marvellous. And I'd like to raise my teacup in thanks and love and admiration and respect to my friend Kate. It was her who thought of everything, dreamt it all up, and made it happen. So, now that we are ourselves, admittedly in a rather strange location, and there's no threat of bundling people into cars or whatnot.
Oh, no. Everything's quite safe now.
It must be safe, because you're not wearing that beret.
Yeah.
The beret of evil.
Yes. Ruthlessly holding you at beret point.
Now, you're obviously well known for your love of hats, and I adore hats too. And I was wondering if you have in mind the perfect hat. And what would the perfect hat be like? Or have you already found it?
I think my perfect hat would almost certainly be an Inspector Gadget hat. I mean, obviously it would have to look like a trilby, but with all the little gadget hands and the little helicopter whirly bit on the top. And I would prefer not to comment as to how many secret features my current hat has.
Yes, I always loved Inspector Gadget. Well, I mostly loved... What was the name? Was it Penny?
Yes, Penny.
Yes,
the real brains.
Yes, absolutely. I always wanted to be Penny. She was great.
Indeed.
In your role as children's author, you obviously do a lot of school visits, and I often see that you're going out and about all over the country. Now, school visits, I used to work in a school for some years, so I know that some days it can be fabulous, some days it can be terrible. I was wondering, where on the spectrum most full, and if you could regale us with tales of the extreme ends of the spectrum of the terrible experiences and the wonderful experiences.
Well, I'm fortunate enough that I've never actually had any terrible experiences.
Hooray!
Absolutely, absolutely. And quite a lot of wonderful ones. I've particularly enjoyed several workshops where basically, as far as I'm concerned, I was doing no work. All I was doing was encouraging the students to come up with fantastic ideas, which they duly did, while I stood there and went, that's great. I guess there are unnerving moments when suddenly students will ask you questions that put you completely out of your comfort zone, but those also count as wonderful moments. I mean, I do remember there was one 10-year-old who asked me something along the lines of, well, obviously, in your job, creativity, experience, and inspiration from other writers must all be very important. Which do you think is most important?
Blimey.
Which threw me for a moment.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yes, it was. It was a very good question.
But you know, everyone wants to know the answer now.
I can't remember what I said. I think it has to be a combination of all three. I think is what I said in a rambling sort of a way over 5 minutes while I made up my mind.
And is it right, usually around 10-year-old age group or... older, younger?
It varies quite a lot. The young end tends to be 9 or 10, but anything up to about year 8 or 9.
Mm. Cool.
And of course, sometimes I talk to adults, increasing amounts. It turns out that when they say that my books are 10+, this can be quite a lot of plus.
Yes, absolutely. So I've seen in the news recently that Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell has been optioned for a BBC television adaptation, which I'm really quite excited about. And I think this week, Rivers of London was optioned as well. And Game of Thrones, obviously, is everywhere and is very popular even with people who've never read the books. And it seems to me that kind of fantasy and urban fantasy and alt history fantasy are seeing a resurgence in popularity. As I say resurgence, I don't know if it's ever been this popular in the past. Perhaps this kind of golden age is upon us.
Splendid.
Yes. Huzzah. I'm very pleased about this. It's very rare that there are things I like to watch on television and all of a sudden there's loads in the pipeline. So I was wondering, in this brave new world in which people realise that there are wonderful books that can be made into television series that don't involve, I don't know, crime dramas, I was wondering which of your books you would most like to see on the big or small screen.
Ooh, well, obviously I'd be delighted to see any of them on any size of screen. I'd really like to see my first book, Fly By Night, put on the screen of some sort, because it's got a floating kite-drawn coffee house chase. I'd love to see someone do that.
Yes.
Also, the third book, it's got volcanoes, and volcanoes make everything better.
They do, they do. I have a real fondness for volcanoes and volcanic lairs, indeed. Do you think that they would suit a television adaptation, kind of HBO-esque adaptation, or film?
Probably television. The plots of my books tend to be a little bit on the twisty-turny side, so I think they probably suit a television series a little bit better.
Mm.
Yeah, if I get to pick.
Yeah, I think that's true, and I think that a lot is lost if people try to cram it into a film. And that's one of the things that I've really enjoyed. Are you watching Game of Thrones?
On and off, yes. But I think it's one of those things that one absorbs by osmosis, even if you're not consciously watching it.
Yes, so many people in our circles are watching it. We can't help but hear about it. So I was thinking about the fact that you write for children, and as you say, children who happen to be older. I still feel like a child. I am regularly surprised when people expect me to act like an adult on a daily basis, and I try to avoid it as much as possible. But I was thinking about books I read as a child and about childhood heroes. I was wondering who your childhood heroes were.
I had quite a few. I mean, in terms of, well, not books, Bugs Bunny was very much a hero and still is. Just in terms of his entire approach to life. Unlike some of the Warner Brothers heroes who are clearly the cartoonist's favourite. Bugs Bunny at least shows a certain amount of fast talk capability and ingenuity and con artistry in order to actually win out. So I quite like him. I also like Mr. Claypole from Rent-A-Ghost. I think it was the mad laugh and the amorality.
Oh, wow. Oh, I haven't thought about that for years. Yes. Yes. And was it Miss Popoff?
Yes.
Which means something completely different in our household. So I'm not sure what my little bean would make of that program now. Oh, wow. That was a really crazy show, if memory serves.
It was. I mean, I haven't gone back to see it since because I'm afraid to do so. I mean, occasionally I go back and to watch children's programs that I know were great, and then I find they've been replaced with a not good thing.
Yes. Though I think Bagpuss might be the exception.
Yeah.
Have you gone back to Bagpuss?
I have. I've met him.
Have you?
Yes. He came to our school. I have hugged Bagpuss.
Oh, wow. All the envy. That's so wonderful. Was he very squishy and cuddly?
He was quite, but very much the strong, silent type.
You know, the theme music to that always made me cry. I don't know why. Even now, even when I was a child and now, I think it's the whole, but Emily loved him.
I know what you mean. I mean, I do have a friend, actually, who can recite an entire Bagpuss episode in Anglo-Saxon. It's her party piece.
Good grief. That's quite a niche talent.
Yes.
Excellent. So I was wondering as well whether you have any writerly rituals. Some people light a candle or they, I don't know, listen to a particular piece of music whilst they're writing. Is there anything that you do?
Generally speaking, I drink enough tea to float a battleship.
Excellent. Yes, tea is very important.
Indeed. I don't tend to light candles. I do listen to music, and sometimes I will associate particular tracks with a particular chapter or event or character, and if I am focusing upon that, sometimes I'll play the same track on a loop over and over again. So my significant other has given me very good headphones as a kind of psychological self-defence.
So I understand that in August you're going to the Edinburgh Festival. Is that right?
Yes, indeed. Edinburgh International Book Festival.
Ooh. And you are appearing with a certain person.
Yes, indeed. I'm very excited about this. I am appearing with the great China Mieville.
Oh my. Now, I'm not going to say anything because even just talking about this is making me blush. Is there a particular topic? Is it like a workshop, or what are you doing with China?
Congratulations on making that sound fantastically suspect. Well, I believe it's approximately panel format, and at the moment I don't have many more details myself, and also I'm not sure how much I should be talking about it.
Oh, that's fair enough. Well, do have a marvellous time.
Yes, well, I'm very much looking forward to it. I'm very honoured to be included with such an excellent writer.
Yes, I'm about to go off to the States, and I've been saving the scar for a big journey, so I'm really looking forward to getting immersed on my 9-hour flight. So, well, let me just check the teapot. Yes, it's almost empty, and we have two plates of crumbs, which is always a lovely sight, I feel. I think it's probably time, if you're well rested enough, to go back down the mountain, I'm afraid.
Right. There's no ski lift on the other side or anything like that, is there?
No, no ski lift, I'm afraid.
Right.
I could give you roller skates.
That's very kind. Thank you. No, that's all right. That's all right. I think the Sherpas would be saddened if I'd left their company quite that quickly in a downward direction.
Yes, I think the journey would be much faster, but perhaps in a way that wouldn't be optimal.
Perhaps not.
I'm sure that you'll be able to rest on the way back down. Do take care. I have heard tell of some strange beast roaming these mountains, but I wouldn't worry about it too much.
Oh, no, there are always stories, aren't there?
Yes, yes, and they're just, you know, myths and folklore. Nothing to worry about.
You're quite sure this isn't revenge?
I'm absolutely positive. I'm absolutely positive, honestly.
No more space in the airship at all?
Oh, the airship. Ah, well, Latimer's very particular about who he allows on the airship. And obviously, you know, the Sherpas might be worried if you didn't go back down with them, and then we'd start off a whole other raft of myths and folklore about people being taken to this monastery and never being seen again, and then where would we go?
I see. So Latimer doesn't let people on when they've kidnapped you at least once. I'll remember that, Latimer.
Well, Latimer's quite a sensitive soul, and he does bear grudges.
Very well, better get my boots on again, then.
Yes, well, it's been lovely to see you. And we probably won't be ourselves the next time we see each other, knowing our record.
No, but I'm sure that'll be fine.
It will be, it will be. Take care now.
Bye.
Bye.
Have a nice ride in your comfy, safe airship.
Yes, and have a good constitutional. Oh, Latimer, I do feel rather guilty about making her walk back down the mountain. Couldn't we?
I'm afraid not, ma'am. The Sherpas are expecting to escort Miss Harding back. We wouldn't want to be accused of kidnapping again.
Again?
There she goes, ma'am. And the Sherpas can be delightful company, even without a phrase book.
What's that?
Coming over the hill.
Is it a monster?
Is it a monster? No, ma'am, it's a yeti.
Will it eat them? Frances doesn't seem very frightened, though. She's waving her hands. Is she trying to communicate with it?
Ah, she's using the polite form of greeting in standard Yetish sign language. If I'd known she could sign in Yetish, I wouldn't
have sign language?
Yes, all Yetis communicate with sign language, ma'am, due to their huge teeth making enunciation rather challenging.
How on earth do you know it?
I had the dubious pleasure of sharing a cave with one during a terrible storm in Nepal, shortly after the war. Fascinating chap. Always cheated at cards, though. Oh, I do believe he's just invited Miss Harding to join in a game of Make the Sherpa Squeal.
Heavens! They're rolling rocks towards them as they run down the mountain. There will be an avalanche for sure. What's that noise?
I believe the Yeti is laughing, Mum.
Francis is making a new sign at him. What does that one mean?
Oh, I believe that's the universal sign for lots of delicious bananas, Mum.
She's pointing up here, at the monastery. Oh no, it's heading for us! She was really upset about the airship, I knew she was.
At last, a worthy adversary. I think it's time for us to leave, Mum.
But what about Francis? How will she get down to... Oh, she's running for the edge! She's jumped!
Ah, she had a parachute secreted in her hat the whole time. I wasn't expecting that. She'll reach the valley below safely, Mum. I'll prepare the airship for emergency departure.
Ah, as Latimer prepares our escape, I'd like to thank you, dear guests, for joining the fabulously talented Francis Harding and I today. The next time we take tea together, we'll be joined by Mike Underwood. Before we go, I'd like to offer my thanks to Fee Phillips, who has once again helped me out of a tricky situation. If you recall, I wanted to send the Weyland-Yutani Corporation a sample of something harmless in return for allowing us to visit their colony. Well, Fee suggested I send them a treble, and they've gone down a storm, so much so that I haven't had any more calls or emails from the corporation for some days now. Many thanks, Fee. I raise my teacup to you. Whilst we're here, I was wondering whether you could help with another tricky decision I need to make. I'm having a dinner party next week, and have only just discovered that one of the guests has recently become one of the undead. I have a starter and main course lined up, but I'm drawing a blank on a suitable dessert. There's only so much one can do to make blood interesting, and I can't bring myself to tell Latimer that his queen of puddings simply won't do. All suggestions are welcome, particularly the outlandish and comedic. Do be dears, and leave your answers at www.teaandjeopardy.com. I'll pick the best one and share it with you the next time we take tea.
I'm afraid it's time to leave, Mum.
But what about the people who live here?
They've had to deal with hungry yetis before, Mum. They'll be fine.
Well, until next time, my sparkling ones. Perhaps the next location for the secret tea there could be somewhere monster-free, Latimer.
Very good, Mum.
You've just listened to an episode of Tea and Jeopardy, hosted by Emma Newman. Go to www.teaandjeopardy.com to find out more and join in.